There is an interesting moment after you discover the infidelity when you realize that everyone knows, not just your partner and the affair partner, but your family, your friends, maybe even people at work that either already know or they're about to be aware. And suddenly you're walking around feeling like you have this invisible mark on your forehead saying sucker or not chosen or fooled. Like everyone can see what happened to you just by looking. Because there's something kind of humiliating about being blindsided. It's different than just a regular betrayal. It's not just that they cheated, it's that you didn't see it coming. You were a fool. You fell for it. So you start replaying the conversations, you start seeing the little evidences here and there that they were living a double life, and you start asking, how could I not see it? And even when people are being supportive and telling you that they're there for you, there's a part of you wondering, like, are they secretly judging me? Maybe they're thinking, I would have been able to see that, or I told them they shouldn't have been with that person. I wouldn't have stayed as long as they did. So you feel stupid. You feel stupid for trusting, stupid for staying if you choose to stay, stupid for missing signs that now seem obvious. And underneath all of this is the deeply internalized message, if I were enough, they wouldn't have cheated. Either if I was smart enough to catch it, or if I was good enough of a partner, or if I was wise enough to not even get into this relationship, you feel like it's your fault. And betrayal often makes it feel like your worth is being publicly questioned. Like someone held you up to another person and decided you weren't valuable enough. It's like the dating app swiping left and right. They swiped one way with the affair partner, swiped another way for you. And it's like everybody is seeing that interaction take place. Were they thinner, smarter, more interesting, less needy? Whatever story your brain starts to tell, and you know the truth that the context is totally different and this and that, but it's hard. And for a lot of people, there's this strange feeling of like being dirty or tainted, and not by anything that you did, but by what was done to you. Like the betrayal marked you, and now suddenly you're a less valuable person. And then there's also this weird mixture of like, you want to tell people, you want their support, but you also don't want their pity. You don't want their trite advice. You don't want them talking about you behind your back. And so sometimes you just end up being silent and carrying this alone, even with friends or coworkers that part of you would like to tell. And none of this is logical. None of this is your brain functioning at its highest capacity. It's really not something that you can think your way out of. And there's a deep part of human psychology that equates being chosen with being safe. If someone chooses me, I have value. If someone chooses me, I belong to the tribe. If someone chooses me, then I know that I'm good enough. And someone that you're with, your partner, is supposed to be person number one that says, yeah, I choose this person. I give my stamp of validation on their worth and value to the rest of the world to see. Like there's a part of partnership where it's like an affirmation of the other. And cheating on them is like the exact opposite of that. And as I've mentioned before, self-blame is often a paradoxical attempt to try to regain control, because if you cause it, then maybe you can fix it, or at least foresee it in the future. And in the same way, embarrassment is often your nervous system's way of trying to keep you socially safe. It's saying, hide, minimize yourself, don't be seen. Because then, if nobody's seeing you, you won't have to play this game of being chosen or rejected. It's like deep, weird survival instincts at play. So you might notice that you don't maintain eye contact as much, or when you tell someone about it, you start over-explaining. You defend your story before they even question it. You need them to understand that you weren't being naive, you weren't ignoring red flags, you had good reasons for trusting, they fooled you, they were a great manipulator, they were a narcissist. And then once that gets exhausting, you just maybe start isolating. And you start isolating because this whole embarrassment and shame part of it just makes the social interactions so much more difficult. But you can't do that because shame survives in secrecy. It grows in the dark spaces that you don't want to look at, and you especially don't want anyone else to look at. Healing involves speaking your truth, being open, vulnerable, honest, even if it's just to one safe person at first. Even if it's quietly, because you were betrayed, not rejected. Their choice to cheat says everything about their integrity and nothing about your worth. You didn't fail at being enough. They failed at honesty. They failed at keeping their commitments. They failed at basic human decency. You showed up. You trusted. You loved. None of that is failure. Healing means being able to separate who you are from what happened to you. The betrayal is something that occurred. It's not your identity, though. Reclaiming your dignity means understanding that difference. And shame really starts to dissolve and honestly feel silly when it's met with compassion, especially your own. When you can look at yourself and say, this happened to me and I'm allowed to hurt and I'm still deeply loved, instead of this happened to me because I should have known better or because I'm not a good enough person. And I really do believe that shame is something that we inherit. It's passed down from parents who learned it from their parents. It's embedded in cultural messages and religious teachings and symbols. Infidelity doesn't create this shame. It pulls shame from the surface, from every corner of society that's been sitting there waiting. It's been dormant, and then this just has it all attack you at once. Many of us were taught that love means earning approval, that being chosen means being worthy, that if someone stops choosing you, it's because you stopped being enough. Betrayal reopens those wounds and confirms those childhood fears, if we believe the lie. And so the antidote to shame isn't pride or defiance or false confidence. It's the truth. It's refusing to believe those old lies and those old stories and healing those parts of yourself that are still believing those stories. And it's owning your current reality with grace instead of hiding it. It's being able to look in the mirror, talk to a friend or a stranger, and say neutrally, I was taken advantage of. It's kind of like someone that got scammed. They applied for an apartment, gave the down payment for the first month's rent, and then that person just disappeared. Typically, we don't blame those people for being scammed. We blame the scammers. And this is genuinely one of my favorite parts of my work with my clients, is getting to this level of spirituality. Because shame, even if you're not an outwardly or intentionally religious or spiritual person, this taps into that same part that leads people into being religious or spiritual. And there are so many positive things that can happen to your self-worth, to the way that you carry yourself, if you allow yourself to take this healing journey this deep. There's a kind of dignity and self-respect that you can tap into that betrayal, infidelity, being stabbed in the back cannot penetrate.